Hello, I'm Lee Benton, pastor of the Open Door Baptist Church. Our congregation and myself would like to take this opportunity to thank you for listening to the sermon today. Our prayer is that the message will help you to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord bless you and keep you is our prayer.
Revelation 22, let's read a few verses this morning. Let's read a few verses as we stand and give reverence to the reading of God's Word today. Revelation 22 this morning. And let's begin reading in verse number 1, okay? Verse number 1. And we'll ask the Lord to help us this morning with the preaching of God's Word. The Bible says, and He, talking about the Lord sharing this vision, blessing John with this vision of the last days and of the millennial reign, of course, tribulation prior to the millennial reign, the battle of Armageddon, and now of heaven. He said, He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystals, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yet yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Verse 3, and there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants shall serve Him. And they shall see His face, and His name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light. And they shall reign forever and ever. And He said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent His angel to show unto His servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank You for the privilege to be in the house of the Lord. I pray that in Jesus' name You'd help me in a very special way today. Lord, breathe upon me. Lord, speak through me today. I thank You, Lord, for the way, Lord, personally, my heart has already been touched, Lord, by the songs, by whether it be the congregational hymns or by the special music today concerning Your love. And Lord, we really can't even understand fully Your love towards us. It blows our mind. Lord, our little brains can't conceive this great love, but we know that You do. And we thank You for that. And Lord, one way that You showed Your love towards us is giving us a written copy of Your Word. A written copy that we can take with us wherever we go. And we can sit down and read and study. We can preach and teach from Your book. I pray, God, You'll help us to love the gifts that You've given us. And Lord, help us with this time. Lord, this is a gift from You. Lord, the opportunity to meet on the Lord's Day with fellow believers, like-minded, like faith. And we can worship You. What a privilege. What a gift. Lord, You're so good to us, and we love You. Help me now, I pray, in Christ's name. Amen. And amen. I know many of you thought we'd never get to chapter 22, but we're here. Amen. We finally made it to the end of the book, but it's been a wonderful study, and there's been a lot of new things. My wife said, I've heard you teach Revelation 3 or 4 times at different places, but she said, you brought out so many new things, so many things that stood out. Now, that's just the way the Word of God is. It's alive, amen? And you're not going to be able to get everything out of it. It's too vast. It's too wonderful. And I love and enjoy and appreciate your praying for me as I studied, as I prepared, and as I preached and taught the book of Revelation to you on these Sundays and Wednesday nights. Now, in chapter number 22, John is beginning to share with us the central features of the place called New Jerusalem, or heaven. And we know that in the previous chapters, especially chapter 21, we were able to read about the external features of heaven and the internal features of heaven. But in chapter 22, we get to go a little deeper with the Word of God here and our understanding of some more things about heaven, some more of the wonderful, wonderful blessings that are there when we finally reach that blessed land. Now, I want to go verse by verse, just share what God's laid upon my heart. I really want to get to verse 21 today. That's one of my favorite verses, especially in the last 2 or 3 days as I studied it. But let's go through here and let me share what God's given me. John says in verse number 1 that he was showed a pure river of water of life. Now that word pure simply means clean. It means unsoiled, no spot. I thought about that when God created the Garden of Eden, it was a perfect garden. It was a pure garden. Everything that God's created is pure, but you and I, as sinful man, we have perverted it. We've made it unclean. We've made it unpure. But in heaven, thank God, there's no sin. There's no curse. We'll see that in a little while. And there's no judgment for sin. There's no Satan. There's no sin nature. And because of that, there'll be a pure river, a clean river, an unsoiled river of the water of life. I love that word life, and it means so many different things, but here it means about a life with no end. It's a water of life. It gives life that has no end. And it says it's clear as crystal. It speaks again of its purity. And it proceeds. Now how can this be so pure? How can it be so holy? How can it be so clean? How can it be so uncontaminated? Well, it's because it proceeds out of the throne of God. And notice it says proceeding, that's continual. It continually runs out of the throne of God and out of the Lamb. If you and I have everlasting life, and we that are saved do, then it's because it came from God. Amen. It proceeded from God. Eternal life, everlasting life, does not proceed from good works. Does not proceed from being baptized. Does not proceed from being a good neighbor. It proceeds from God. Amen. And I love the way it says that it's not on the throne of God, but of the Lamb. Of the Lamb. The Lamb is speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know that John the Baptist said that when he saw the Lord, he said to those Jews and Pharisees and Sadducees and Herodians, whoever was standing there, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." We know in the Old Testament the lambs had to be sacrificed to cover the sins of the people. But yet, thank God, no more lamb, no more sheep, no more goat has to be slaughtered because the Lord died once for sin. Amen? He is the Lamb of God which took away the sins of those who repented. And so everlasting life, this pure river of endless life, it proceeds continually. Continually, don't worry about you losing your everlasting life in heaven. It is continually, hallelujah. It is forever and ever because it proceeds from, not our works, but it proceeds from the work of the Lamb at the cross of Calvary when He died for our sins. Verse number 2, He says, now in the midst, we're talking about the central features of this a new Jerusalem, this heaven, the abode of God's people. It says, in the midst of the street of it, says on either side of the river, the same river in verse 1, he said, I noticed that there was the tree of life. And he said, this tree of life, it bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month. It says that this tree of life, it bare 12 manners of fruits, and it also yielded fruit every month. That word there of bear and yielded means continually. It will continually bear fruit. It will not bear fruit for just I want to say a space of time, but that's not in heaven. No space of time in heaven. No clocks in heaven. But for some period there that it will yield and then it won't, but it's continually. It is speaking about how continually, ongoing, that these trees will bear fruit. The Bible says it to bear fruit every month. I hope you like fruit. Hope you like fruit. Fruit's in heaven, amen. pure fruit. Amen. And it says, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree, not only is the fruit a blessing, but the leaves of the tree of life is a blessing. And it's there for the healing of the nations. Verse number 3. The Bible says, and there shall be no more curse. Do you understand what that is referring to? When the Bible says there's no more curse, I like to put ing on the end of that and say there'll be no more cursing. Amen. And that's no more in heaven, but the Bible says no more curse. It's referring to the beginning of mankind in the Garden of Eden. You remember that Satan deceived Eve, and Eve partook of the fruit, and she disobeyed the will of God. She disobeyed the commandment of God by eating of that fruit. And Adam was enticed by his wife. He was enticed by his wife, and he disobeyed God. Adam disobeyed God. Watch this. I believe with all my heart. I've heard people say that Adam took of the fruit because he loved Eve so much that he realized that Eve now was going to die, and he wanted to die with her. And I don't know how much truth of that is. It's a good love story. But I do know this. I do know this. Adam took that fruit because he loved his wife more than he loved God. Amen. You can have that for free. So often we do things, sin, and do things because we love that sin more than the Savior. He loved her more than he loved God. You ought to love your wife, but you ought not love her more than God. It was God that gave it to her, gave you to her. Amen? And so you ought to love God more than anything. Love God with all your heart. He says that this curse was gone. There's four things, or five things I'm going to tell you about. Where did the curse originate? It was because of sin in the garden. You know that. Number two, what is the result of the curse? The Bible says to the woman, she'll have pain in childbearing, and that she'll be submissive to the man. Also, we know that man would have to sweat to bring up fruit and vegetables and food. It would not be like it was in the garden before sin. The result of curse, death entered because of sin, Romans 5 says. I tell you, a lot of things happen because of the curse. Then the endurance of the curse. How long would the curse last? When we studied the millennial reign, we know that in the millennial reign there's no curse. We know that the wild animals that we know of will lie down with the domestic animals, and the domestic animals won't fear for their life. We know that the millennial reign will be like another garden of delight, a garden of Eden, and we know in heaven, so the curse is gone. We know in Romans chapter number 8, the wailing of the curse, or because of the curse. Listen to me, don't lose me. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, Paul said that even creation is wailing and groaning to be relieved, for the curse to be lifted. And thank God one day the curse will be lifted. And then what about the destroying of the curse? Well, there's only one that can destroy it, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no more curse. Look at verse number 3, but the throne of God and of the Lamb, there's that word Lamb again. Why is there pureness and holiness? Why is there no sin in heaven? Well, verse 1, because of the Lamb. Verse 3, because of the Lamb. Shall be in it, and his servant shall serve him. Do you remember when Satan stood before, Satan stood there before the Lord, and he tempted the Lord and said, bow down and worship me. Do you remember that? Can I get a witness? You remember that? And you remember what Jesus said? He says, you art not worshipped. Thou shalt worship only the Lord God, and Him alone shall thou worship. Here John is told that the servants shall serve Him. You know, our service today is not perfect, is it? It's not perfect. It's not perfect. Sometimes our motives are not godly. Our intentions are not godly. We mess things up, don't we? But in heaven, our service will be perfect. Amen? Notice it doesn't say that we'll labor for Him, but it uses the word serve. There's a difference between a servant and a slave. There's a difference in the Bible. A slave is often spoke about those that we were before we met the Master, before we were saved. We were slaves to sin. But now we're servants of the Lord. Amen? We serve willingly from our heart, because He saved us. After salvation, always comes service. Verse number 4, and they, you and I, aren't you glad you're part of the they crowd in this chapter? They shall see His face. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that you and I are going to look upon His face? The one that shed His blood on Golgotha's hill, the one that's protected you and blessed you all the days of your life, the one that has been there for you, has never left you, has never forsaken you. I need a witness, amen. He, thank God, will give us the privilege for all eternity that we shall look upon His face. I love the song that is sung that it says that for the first time I'll see Jesus, even though we've already met. Amen. I've already met the Lord, but I've never saw His face. One day I will. Amen. They shall see His face. Now keep going with me, and His name shall be in their foreheads. Look at verse number 5. And there shall be no night there. And they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light. Why? Because Jesus is light. Amen. Jesus is light. He gives them light. I love that ETH continually for all eternity. He gives us light. Light brings comfort, doesn't it? You ever been in a very dark room and maybe as a child, you get a little scared, nervous? Maybe some adults are still like that. I don't know. And mama or dad bought you a nightlight. And that nightlight just seems to bring a little comfort, doesn't it? A little peace. Now, come on, don't act so adult-like. You've been there as a kid. Your kids are probably there now or been there, went through that phrase. They're just worried and scared. What's in the dark? And they have to have, that light brings comfort. That light brings peace. It brings a soothing feeling to the heart. But this light gives a soothing, peaceful feeling to our soul for all eternity because Jesus is the light. You want real peace? You got to know the Lord, amen? He brings real peace, contentment. And they shall reign forever and ever. Verse number 6, the Bible says, and He said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. What sayings is He referring to, preacher? He's referring to everything that's been said from Revelation chapter 1, verse 1, all the way to Revelation 22, verse 21. Everything that has been said, everything that John has written by the permission of God Almighty is faithful and true. Now, you know, if the words can't be trusted, if the words of Revelation can't be trusted, then the ones that said the words can't be trusted either. Amen? If these words that were wrote can't be trusted, then the one who said those words, he can't be trusted. But I'll tell you, he can be trusted. He is faithful and true, and because he is faithful and true, his words are faithful and true. These sayings are faithful. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show his servants the things which must shortly be done. He says, behold, I come quickly. I notice in verse number 6 at the ending of that verse, he says that I've been blessed. John said that he has shared with me, and of course he also with Daniel. Daniel was one that God blessed to see a vision of the end times, and Daniel was told to seal the book. John was told to make the book public. And so he says that the holy prophets and of myself, he has sent an angel, he sent these visions to show us these things that will shortly be done. The Lord has been ascended to heaven now for around 2,000, a little over 2,000 years ago. Seems like a long time, don't it? Come on, help me. 2,000 years is a long time. I've had weeks that I thought, boy, that was the longest week I've had in my life. I've had days where I thought, Lord, that's a long day right there. It's never going to end. But I'm telling you, 2,000 years? But yet the Bible says, now he just said his words are faithful. He just said his words are true. He says they're faithful, they're true. I'm not being dishonest with you. I'm not being impure, unholy, unrighteous with my words. I'm a God of integrity. I'm a God of honesty. He says, my words are true because I'm true. And the very next thing he says, these things will shortly come to pass, and I'm coming quickly. You know what we doubt so often? We doubt, is our Lord ever going to appear again? Is He ever coming back? The Bible says scoffers will arise in the last days, the last hours, and they'll say, we've heard since a child about His coming. Where is the promise of His coming? Where is He at? They'll scoff and they'll laugh. And they say, man, it's been 2,000 years since He ascended to heaven according to your Bible. And He's not been back yet. And they'll scoff at us and laugh at us. But you better believe in your heart that, yes, the certainty of Him coming is very real. It's as real as the uncertainty of His when He's coming. I believe in the certainty of His coming. But also believe in the uncertainty of when He is coming back. I don't know when He's coming. But He's coming because He's coming quickly. You know what Peter said about 1,000 years? 1,000 years is one day with the Lord. One day, 1,000 years unto the Lord. So if you want to go by that scripture, He's only been away around 2 days or so. What's you so impatient about? You can't even wait 2 days? Amen. He says, I'm coming quickly. I love that way it says there, quickly. Look at how that word is spelled. It says, Q-U-I-C-K, watch this, L-Y. You know what L-Y means? If you understand your English, your grammar, L-Y means that He is, not only is He saying, it gives this thought. He's not saying, listen to me, He's not, this will bless your heart if you'll get it. He's not saying that one day I'm coming, which He is, we know that. One day I'm getting ready to come back. No, that's not what He's saying. He is saying, I'm in the process right now. L-Y, right now, it's in the process. He's not yet appeared. I understand that in the eastern sky. This is the eastern sky, I believe. He's not appeared there yet. We're still here, the church. But He's in the process of coming back. How's that? Because all those prophecies have been fulfilled. Because people are getting saved. We're getting near to the last believer building the church of Jesus Christ. And when that last person is saved, whoever it is and wherever they may live, when that last person is saved, then we'll hear a shout and we'll rise up from this ungodly, wicked world and live with Him forever. Hallelujah. He is in the process now. You say, He ain't coming back. You know, someone is so foolish to tell you He's not coming back. You say, buddy, He's already ahead of you. He's already coming back. He's in the process of it. Souls are being saved. The gospel is being spread around the world. Sinners are getting saved. The saints are getting encouraged. All these prophecies around us have been fulfilled. The only prophecy left for the Lord to fulfill, only one prophecy, and that is the completion of the New Testament church. Don't you worry about watching news. Oh, yeah, that's all these prophecies got to be fulfilled. It'd be sometime for the Lord. No, all those are being fulfilled right before our eyes. The last remaining prophecy to be fulfilled is the completion of the bride of Christ. And when it's complete, son, go get your children. Amen. Amen. Behold, I come quickly. Go to verse number 8. And I, John, saw these things and I heard them. And when I heard them, and I seen, he said, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. I mean, he is so overwhelmed and so enthused and probably is at a point that it seems like his mind is going to explode with all this information and all the things that he has seen and witnessed and with his own eyes through this vision. He said that he fell down before the feet of the angel. Verse number 9, notice what the angel said. He said unto me, see thou do it not. For I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. Worship God. Let me ask you, what besides God the Father, God the Son, God Holy Spirit, in heaven, the only other spiritual beings that are there are the angels. And there's different types of angels, but the angels. Besides the ones that that's in heaven, the Christians. I'm just talking about before time and our time, man, humankind, for humanity began on earth. There was the angels, and there was God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Now, if a person had a right, and they don't, listen to me carefully, to worship anything besides God, you would think it could be angels. They're created spiritual beings. They have no gender. They're in heaven. They're holy. You would think it would be angels. But even this angel says, don't worship me. You worship God. Why does this world worship sports stars? Why do they worship movie stars? Why do they worship cars? Why do they worship those things that they shouldn't worship? Why is that? Why do they do that? Why do they do that? Because in man, they have a craving for a God. So many religions today, you around the world, they have a God. Even the Bible says that Satan is the little g, God of this world. And the context of that word God means leader. He's the leader of this world. Man wants to worship something or somebody. They have that need in them. They want to worship. They want to be able to pray. They want to be able to put confidence in something or somebody. They want to have somebody or something to rely on. Well, you and I have been told in the middle verse of the King James Bible, it is better to trust in the Lord than to have confidence in man. Or to put our reliance in Him. Or to put our confidence in Him. He's the one we ought to worship. Amen. Don't worship an angel. Don't worship the men and women of this world. Worship God. Amen. And worship Him with all your heart. Let's continue to go so I can close. Verse number 10. And He saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book. For the time is at hand. Daniel chapter number 12, verse 9. God told Daniel to seal it up. But now God has told John, don't seal them. Don't seal up this prophecy. Verse number 11. Now that the time is short, now that Jesus is coming quickly, He's in the process. Things are in the works. He is actually coming now. He's in the works. I don't know how long it's going to take before everything is, the bride is completed, but it's in the process. It's not something that needs to get kick-started. It's already in the process. He comes quickly, L-Y. It is in the process. He says, because of that, watch this now, verse 11. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He which is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. Preacher, what does that mean? I'll just tell you very plainly what that means. It means get off the fence, make your minds up. The decision for salvation is now. If you're going to go after Satan and live for the world, then go. If you're going to live for Jesus, live for Jesus. You better get things. You say, preacher, I'm going to put it off till I get married. I'm going to put it off till my kids go to college. I'm going to put it off till I'm an old man with my old wife and we're going to be retired. And then we'll give our heart to Jesus. Then we'll give our life to Jesus. Jesus says, no, today's the day of salvation. Get off the fence. Make your decision today. I beg you today, if you are in a decision, that decision faces you, whether you should be born again, whether you should follow the Lord, you need to make that decision this morning. You don't need to put it off tonight. You don't need to put it off till next week. Today's the day of salvation. Because why? Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Jesus Christ is coming, and He's coming quickly. That's why you better make your mind up now. You that want rewards in heaven, you that want to hear Jesus say, well done, you need to make your decision today to get your heart right. Because when you think you're going to make that decision, the Lord may appear in the eastern sky, and you'll never make that decision for Christ. Verse number 12, behold, I come quickly. There it is again. And my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I love that. I circled this. I circled my reward is with me. I circled it in my Bible. And I wrote two things down. I believe there's a twofold meaning there, Brother Tim Holloway. I believe the first meaning is that when He appears, His reward is with Him. Watch this now. When He appears, He said, my reward is with me. When I appear, my reward will be with me. Can anybody tell me what will happen when Jesus comes back? the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up with Him. We are the ones that will be with Him. We are the reward for Christ giving His life, the church. That is the reward that God gives His Son, that He obeyed His Father. He sacrificially gave His life. The reward that God gives His Son Jesus for doing that greatest act of love that can never be compared by another act of love, His reward is the church. He said, the reward is with me. You're special to God. You're His reward. Jesus Christ calls you His reward. And then I believe the second meaning there is that Christ will actually reward those that are faithful. There will be crowns given. There will be rewards given at the judgment seat of Christ. Of course, we'll give it back to the Lord because we'll say we're not worthy. Amen? He says, I'm the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. The Alpha, the Omega is the first letter and last letter of the Greek alphabet. He says, you take the first letter and you take the last letter of the Greek alphabet or any alphabet you want to. He says, I'm all that. There is nothing that our God is not to you and I. Amen? Psalms 23, the Lord is. And you can cut it off right there and you can put anything you want in there. The Lord is. Whatever you need, He'll be that for you. And it says, He is the what? He is, verse number 13, the beginning and the end. He is the first and the last. That phrase, the first and the last, that adjective phrase clause there means that He is eternal God. It means that He is eternal God. He says, blessed are they that do His commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. For without are dogs. Say, preacher, my poop's not going to go to heaven? That's not what it's referring to. The word dog is used to speak about filthy people, ungodly sinners. Do you know that dogs in the Assyrian Empire were servants of the false god in the temple of Ashtoreth? Ashtoreth was a female deity. And the servants of that female deity in the Assyrian Empire were called dogs. They were called dogs. Do you know that in the eastern world, in the eastern lands, that a dog, this might get some of you upset, but a dog was never permitted to cross the threshold of a home. They were not allowed to cross the threshold of a home. And so in heaven, dogs will not cross the threshold of heaven. Spiritually speaking, dogs will not be there. Those people that worship false God, and they're filthy. And sorcerers, those are people that are the occult. They use spells and drugs and magical arts. Says they won't be there. Whoremongers won't be there. Murderers won't be there. Idolaters won't be there. And whosoever loveth and maketh a lie won't be there. Verse 16, I sent my angel to testify these things. I am the root, the offspring, and the bright and morning star. I want you with that pen. You got a pen? Underline root, underline offspring, and underline bright and morning star. Jesus says He's three things in that one verse. Now I'm going to cross-reference to a verse, so you write this down. The book of Philippians. The book of Philippians, chapter 2, verse 10. You know that verse, don't you? The Bible says that Jesus Christ will be worshipped. Every knee shall bow. Now watch this now. Every knee shall bow, whether it be things under the earth, whether it be things in the earth, or the things in heaven. Three areas are covered. Watch this now in Philippians 2:10. Things in the earth, the things under the earth, the things in the earth, and the things in heaven. Now watch what he says. I am the root. Where is that at? Under the earth. Don't lose me. Jesus said that every knee will bow under the earth. That means those that are in hell right now, they're going to bow down and say, you are King of kings and Lord of lords. even Satan and demons of hell will bow down. The things under the earth, what is that? He says, I am the root. Then he goes on and says, I am the offspring. Where's the offspring located? Above ground. Right? You plant a seed, you got a root, offspring is above the ground. It's in the earth. He says, and then, I'm the bright and morning star. Where's that located? Heaven. Isn't that wonderful? Jesus said, every knee will bow under the earth. He's the root. In the earth, He's the offspring. In heaven, He's a bright morning star. Everybody's going to bow down. No matter who you are, we're all going to bow down and say, You are King of kings and Lord of lords. And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. And the first come and second come there speaks about the church. We are saying to our Lord, Come, Lord. We beg you to come. If you can watch the news and you can go through this miserable life with pain and suffering and heartache and these bodies decaying and rotting and having trouble physically all the time, and you look at the bad news that surrounds our county, our state, our country, our world, and it doesn't help bubble up that cry, Come, Lord Jesus. You need to check up. It ought to make you want to beg God to come back. So that's what's happening. The Spirit and the bride. Who's the bride? The church. The saved. We are saying, Come, Lord Jesus. Come back, Lord. Then it says, Let him that heareth say, Come. Again. Come, Lord Jesus. But watch this. Let him that is athirst. Who is that? It's not the church. We've taken of living water. We never thirst again. It's the sinner. While the church is saying, ought to say, Come, Lord Jesus, receive us to your heavenly home. We want to live with you. We want to be with you forever. Come, Lord Jesus. The sinners ought to be saying, Oh, I want of that living water. And the way they're going to be saying that and partake of that water, you and I has got to give an invitation and say, Hey, Jesus loves you. Jesus died for you. Come and take of that water of life freely. And I want you to look, let's go to verse 21 and close. I love this. The last verse of the Bible. Wouldn't you think, I want you to help me now, some of you are kind of half asleep. I want you to think, if you were God, and thank God we're not, okay? Let's just say if you were writing a book, wouldn't you want the last chapter and paragraph to just, you just want the conclusion to just explode. You just want the conclusion to just leave just a great taste in somebody's mouth. You just want the conclusion, that last chapter, to be like, wow, I really enjoyed that book. I really enjoyed that book. The last verse that God ordained to be in His book, it says this, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. John's, before he sets the papyrus or sheepskin or whatever he was writing these words on at the time, he sets his writing instrument down. Before he does that, God instructs him to write, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. That word grace is not talking about saving grace. We don't need saving grace, do we? If you're saved, you don't need it again. That's not what I was talking about. That word grace means favor. It means blessings. Favor and blessings that bring joy. I love this. It says, may the favor, may the blessing, may the joy of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. You know what? How we say it today, a lot of folks say it, God bless you. God bless you. The scriptural way to do it is saying, and I'm going to try to do this. And I'll always do it, but I'm going to start. God dealt my heart just as I said, Lord, help me to do that. Before I hang up, I'm going to try to say, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. I'm going to try to do that. That's longer than bye. My wife says I don't even say bye when I hang up. I just hang up. When you're done talking, I hang up. My wife said, you ought to say bye. I said, I just don't say bye. It's so final, you know. I don't want, you know. But I'm going to be able to say I hope the favor of God, the blessings of God be upon you. May the favor and the blessing of God be upon you. That favor of God, that blessing of God that brings real joy in your heart. And then he says, to end it all, the last word of His infallible Word, His inerrant Word is, Amen. Amen. You ought not be afraid of that word, Amen. You ought to say it once in a while. It'll help you. I want to hear you. I want to hear it. First of all, let's have all those that are from smallest all the way to the 12-year-olds, smallest of the 12s, I want you to say Amen real loud. Say it. One, two, three. Amen. Good job. All right, those that are from 13 to 25, I want y'all to say amen. One, two, three. Some of you is not doing this. It's wrong to not obey the pastor. I can show you scripture. Listen to me. Let's do it again. O to 12. I don't think we got any O's in here, do we? O to 12. Let's hear you do it again, okay? One, two, three. Amen. That's wonderful. All right. 13 to 25. 1, 2, 3. Amen. All right. Let's go 26 to 60-year-old. 1, 2, 3.
Amen.
Amen. All right. 61 to... God help you. 1, 2, 3.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. You know what that means? After all this has been said... After all has been said, you know what it means?
So be it.
So be it. So be it. He says the Lord is coming quickly. He says that one day the devil will be thrown into hell. He says one day Jesus will rule and reign and His saints will rule with Him. He says one day the curse will be gone. There'll be no night. There'll be no death. There'll be no sorrow. There'll be no sin. There'll be no Satan. Hallelujah. He says all are gone away. We'll live forever in heaven. And Jesus is coming very soon. And to end it all, He says, so be it. Amen. So be it. So be it. That ought to be in your heart today. So be it. You ought to love the Lord so much that you say, so be it. I've heard people say, and I don't think anybody here said to me in this audience, but I've heard people in my past ministry, they say, I don't want the Lord to come back until so-and-so. I don't want the Lord to come back until so-and-so happens. I want to see my daughter get married. I want to see my son get married. I want them to enjoy that. I want them to understand what marriage is. I want to have grandkids. I want to make more money. I want to have that job that I'm going to school for. Why would I go to school for all these years and Jesus come back? That's a waste of time. I want to. Have you ever heard that? Ever thought that? But if our heart's truly right, then we'll say, come quickly, Lord Jesus. So be it. So be it, Lord. Come on. It wouldn't bother me a bit if we said our last amen today and that trumpet would sound. It wouldn't hurt my feelings at all. And up we'd go. Hallelujah. Amen. So be it. Say, preacher, I've got lost loved ones. That's why Jesus said, if you're going to be filthy and nasty and dirty, if you're going to talk dirty, you just go ahead and keep talking dirty. Your time's coming. But don't you talk dirty and then come in here and say, Jesus loves me, this I know. If you're going to act like a whoremonger, and you're going to act like a filthy sinner, don't you go over there and tell somebody about Jesus. He said, get off the fence. You live for God or you don't. Because I'm coming. And I'm either bringing rewards or I'm bringing judgment. You either go to heaven or you'll go to hell. But you mark it down. He is God. He ruleth and reigneth. And every knee's going to bow. And every tongue's going to confess that He's Lord. He's Lord. Oh, I hope you love the Lord today.
Thank you so much for listening to the sermon today. We hope and pray that you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The Bible says in the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." The Bible says in John, chapter number 14, that Jesus saith unto them, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me." Our prayer here at Open Door Baptist Church is that you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The Bible says that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. No matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, Jesus Christ loves you. He died for you, and He's more than capable and more than willing to cleanse you from unrighteousness and from your sins and make you a child of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The Bible says if you repent, turn from your sin and turn to Jesus Christ and by faith believe in His death, His burial, and His resurrection for your salvation, you too can be saved. Our prayer is that you think upon this and that very soon you'll make an eternal decision to receive Jesus as your personal Savior. Thank you so much.